Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a new week. Starting here at Monday morning. And today we're going to start on the seal judgments. And we'll start with a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to get to look into your word. May you help me, Lord, to be ever so mindful that this is your word and I give it the honor it deserves. You help me to understand it in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
So here we got that same artwork. If you got a chance to see Pastor Silcott yesterday morning, I did the Revelation study. He basically went through this picture completely. I'll just use it as a backdrop for my and so we're getting ready to see Jesus is going to receive the scroll from the Father. And we're going to go through a little bit of the precursor of the scroll. We're not going to open any seals tonight. This is chapter 5. And it's more about the time preceding, just before he starts opening the seals. So the first part of this will be, you see here in the front of this painting, you see, I don't know if you see my cursor or not, it'll be the four horsemen. And we will probably get into those tomorrow, because today is going to be the finishing up of chapter 5, and we started on Friday. And we may or may not make it. It might go a little bit long with it. I think it's a little bit more than a half hour, so we'll see how it goes. I'm just going to read verse 6, only because a little bit of a review from Friday. It's been a long weekend. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits set forth into all the earth. And I will break this down just real quickly, kind of a couple of things that we talked about. That Jesus here in this particular verse is the Lamb, and we're looking at, and he came as a lamb to be slain. As we see in here, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain. So this is how we identify it as Jesus. Jesus was slain for our salvation, and he was some of the Jews at that time frame when he came were actually expecting him to be a lion. And remember, we talked about Friday that that the lion and the four living creatures or beasts, as it is in the King James Version, are about the line of the tribe of Judah. That was coming back like strong and ready to take over and take power. And he is going to do that when he comes back the next time. Comes back and sets foot on the earth, which would be after the 7-year tribulation. But in the meantime, we'll be up here in heaven, and we're going to see him receive the scroll. And so we're going to see the lamb as it had been slain. So most commentaries that we talk to feel that he's going to be actually, we're going to be able to tell it was him, mainly because he's going to have the scars from when he died for us on the cross. And that we'll be able to see that and be able to verify, because John could see him as he had been slain. And then it goes on to say, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God set forth into all the earth. And if you remember correctly, the seven horns has to do with power. I just review a couple of these verses from last week. Remember John 1:29. Next day, John seeing Jesus came unto him and said, behold, Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. So in this case, noticing John, this is John the Baptist, not John the Apostle John. But he when he first saw Jesus coming, he knew exactly who he was, the Lamb of God, as we saw in there. We also see over in Zechariah 3:9, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engravings thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." Also over in Zechariah 4:10, a little bit more descriptive. "Who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. For those 7, these are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole world." So the eyes in this verse, and verse 6, is about the Lord's eyes and the fact that he can see everywhere in the world. And real quick, too, that in Deuteronomy 33:17, "His glory is like the first thing of a boy." This is talking about the horns. The horns is about power. That power he's going to have. "The horns of a unicorn, with them he shall perish the people together," or push the people together, "to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000 of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Messiah and the Messiah." I know how to say that word. And Daniel 8:20. Also have about the horn. "The ram which thou sawest having 2 horns are the kings of Media and Persia." So here it is. In this case, the horns represent the power of the kingdom of these two kingdoms, or the kings of these two kingdoms. So again, horns in the Bible is about power. So we saw eyes is about seeing, all seeing eyes, and the power that Jesus Christ has as the Son of God. And as God. So now on today's lesson, verse 7. "He came and took the book." So here we are, we get the scene. Jesus is there, the Lamb of God. And we have the 24 elders around, we have the angels around, and we're all looking upon. And we see the Lamb. And the Lamb walks up to the Father here in verse 7. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." I want to make note here, too, that the one that sat upon the throne. Remember, Jesus is not on the throne yet, okay? He's now at the right hand of the Father. So I just got a few verses here to show who's on the throne. And over in Revelation 4:2-3, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And here that sat was like to look like, upon like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And that picture I showed you before. I remember this one. Okay, I don't know what it's doing. He's been doing a new thing lately. I'm trying to figure out what it's doing. I'm trying to figure out how to get it to stop doing that automatically. I want it to stay on one picture. It's not behaving. Okay, the picture. And you can see that, as it said in that verse, that they, Jesus was probably can't read this thing. And he that sat was looked like upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So he's a pretty bright figure. And from what I understand, that's part of the reason we see so many times in the Bible that nobody's allowed to look on him. Continuing on. And he that shall swear by heaven and swear by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. There's another verse to confirm who sat on the throne. It's God who's on the throne. God the Father, I think, is a better God. It's still all three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all with different different attributes, I should say. Okay, verse 5:8. So just here, it's saying, when we had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Let's break this verse down a little bit. Again, we see the 24 elders here again. I truly believe that that represents basically the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, which started the church. So if you combine the two together, you basically get the 24 elders. So they represent the combined church of, that will be in heaven during the rapture. That's my best way of it. It's funny that I've always believed that the 24 elders represented the church, but I've learned even more since that breaking that down even further. I've heard a lot of different theories about the 24, and I read this one by a commentary, and it seems to make the most sense to me. And just to break that down again, we see in Revelation 21:12 through 14 a depiction of the of where this 24 comes from. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and a name written thereupon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Okay. And then we got verse 13, talks about the gates, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. Now, I see this now after reading some other verses I'm going to show you in Isaiah, that these gates are like the welcoming in of the Gentiles into the Jewish, like the combining of the olive tree, where we get grafted into the olive tree. In other words, it's another way of saying, I'm going to show in a few verses, this seems to be the welcoming in of the whole world into the promises given to Israel. And verse 14 is the 12 foundations. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, what was the job of the 12 apostles? It was the beginning of the church. They were trained by Jesus for 3 years. Jesus was in his ministry. They went on to develop the church. I can see this is the church, and along with the 12 tribes of Israel, now you get to 24. So you should break that down a little bit more. In Isaiah 60:18, violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within the borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. It's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel and the walls of the city and the gates. Kind of depicting salvation and praise. Over in Ezekiel 48:31, and the gates of the city shall be after the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of, and it goes on to list all the 12 tribes of Israel. But basically it shows that these gates represent the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's Old Testament confirmation of what the 12 gates stand for. Again, in this passage, in Revelation 5:8, I truly believe now that the more I read about the 24 elders, that 12 of the elders represent 12 tribes of Israel, and the other 12 represent the apostles, which would be the beginning of the church. And it's symbolic of the entire kingdom of God once the rest of the land of Israel becomes believers in Christ, which to me is after the so that's the part that's a little confusing, is that we see these 12 elders, these 24 elders in John's vision in the throne room before the first seal. So even though it may depict the 12 tribes of Israel, that's only a representation of who's going to be members of the church in its fulfillment. That makes a little bit of sense. On to the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, we see over in Corinthians, Paul explains it a little bit better. According to the, as the Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build upon. So again, Jesus was the master builder. He was the head of the cornerstone. He laid the foundation along with his 12 apostles who built the foundation. Anyone, every single Christian of the church since then has been building on that foundation. You finish reading here, great explanation that Paul gives. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is a it's another passage that Paul also goes on to explain, basically, that that we're saved by grace, that we are always saved, and that anything we do for the kingdom of God becomes work that we do because we want to build upon the church, as the great mandate, go ye into all the world and spread the gospel. But realize that that's only, if it's God's will, it'll become gold and silver. If it's not God's will and you're just doing it for your own glory, it's going to be hay and stubble. It'll just be burned away. But either way, you're still saved. So that trying to signify what the difference is between a works relationship where you get to heaven by works, which you don't. You get to heaven because of what Jesus died for the cross for us. But the things we do because we love Christ and because we want to further the church and build upon it, those things we'll get rewards for once we get to heaven. And that, and Paul's trying to explain that here, that anything we do that was a mandated by, was given to us by Jesus to do, will be gold and silver and precious stones. And that anything we do for our own glory is going to burn up as hay and stubble. So that's that. This portion of scripture actually goes on. And one more thing in Ezekiel 1:5, also on this whole subject of the foundation of the church. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance, that they had the likeness of a man. This is just to show an Old Testament prophecy of this living creature. And that one of them has the likeness of a man. This is a foretelling of Christ as coming as a man. So I throw that in there. I like to try to throw a little Old Testament references in there to kind of show the fullness of the Bible. I'm starting to realize too that someone told me that when you start studying Revelation, you will be in every single book in the Bible. And I'll be interested to see if I hit every single book. So a little bit more on Revelation, on this idea of the furthermore, in this particular verse, we have the I lost track of what we were doing. Revelation. Let me go back to that for a second. 5:8. So now I'm going to go into the. Every one of them, the golden vials full of odors, and then I'm also going to mention the prayers of the saints. So the next areas I'm breaking down. So now we're talking about the vials full of odors. This is later on in Revelation 8:3. It talks about it. We just touch it on it upon it right now. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and it was given unto him much incense that it should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Smoke of the incense and with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God and out of the angel's hand. This is also talking about the prayers of the saints. We see in Psalms 141, a psalm of David, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lift up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So basically, what I'm trying to say about the incense and the vials, is those are the prayers of the saints. And I think it depicts here that during this time, H-E double hockey sticks, as we used to say, did not say the word. Oh, I still had trouble saying that word. That those going on the earth right now are going through that, and these are the, I'm sure that there'll be lots and lots of prayers coming up from the people who get converted right after the rapture. I firmly believe that minutes after the rapture, anyone who is on the fence and didn't believe us or wasn't convinced that God was real, or maybe that we're in a church that taught that, you know, you didn't need to repent, you didn't need to ask God to repent you for your salvation from your sins. All those people, I think, a few minutes right after the rapture, when they realize what happened, are going to be falling on their knees and praying to God for salvation. And I sometimes wonder if that's what they're trying to depict here. Is it the prayers of the saints? Okay, on 5:9. How are we doing on time? 22 minutes, okay. I think we'll make it out of the chapter. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. A lot in this verse, too. Sing a new song. And I got a few verses. Of course, most of them are from Psalms. And it, of course, Psalms means. I imagine that the amount of people that are going to be in the choir in heaven, including all of us, are going to be so massive. And if you imagine what that's going to sound like when we all get, that's going to be awesome. A few verses in Psalms to reflect on this. In 43, and he put forth, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 96:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 144:9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and on an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. There's the harp, too. Maybe these harps are going to have 10 strings. And one outside of Psalms is in Isaiah 42:10. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. All these are just to reflect on singing a new song. We're going to talk about salvation that I mentioned in there. That we were grateful to him for our salvation. And a few verses to reflect on that. Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to mention that creature. But again, I don't think that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's about the salvation in that song. And also written in Colossians, a better explanation. I like Colossians 1:23 through 29. 9. Oh, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. I guess I added in some more verses in Mark. Okay. Now we're over to Colossians 1. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, which worketh in me mightily. Can I repeat it? Oh no, get out of order. I'm wondering what happened there. Let me try that again. Let's try that again. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached in every creature which is under heaven, wherein I, Paul, am made a minister. We now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Okay, now it's making more sense. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been laid hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may preach every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Okay. That better explains part that verse about kings and priests. I'm sorry, salvation. On to Revelation 5. Made us unto us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And some other references about this. We brought a lot of this stuff up before, I realize. And so, but this folks there, the kings and priests, there's only certain people in the Bible that are both priests. It's another confirmation that the church is in heaven at this time. For me, anyways. Over in Daniel 7:8, at Revelation 1:6, we see this again. We went through it before. And hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In Revelation 26, also, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Again, we're reigning and we're preaching. I also have over in 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9. He also has lively stones that built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you is the therefore which believeth he is precious, but unto them which he be a disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That's basically that Jesus was rejected, and that he became the chief cornerstone of the church. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereupon also they were appointed. But ye are chosen, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, these are all verses to confirm that that we are, along with, because we are adopted into God's family, we have become kings and priests along with Jesus Christ. We're not that high and mighty by ourselves. Realize that this is only because we've been adopted into the family of God. Over in Daniel, we got some verses too that reflect on this. But the saints of the Most High, that would be Jesus Christ, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We're going to reign with Christ forever and ever. Daniel 7:27 also. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve and obey him. Again, we'll be serving and reigning with Jesus Christ. But it's going to be that's going to be rather interesting, I think, as we go forward. Okay, Revelation 5:11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. That's a lot of people. And try to get an idea of what that's like. It says 10,000 times 10,000. Multiply that again by 1,000 and then by again by 1,000. It comes out to over 100 trillion at least. That's a big number. People, this must be one heck of a throne room. That's all I really have to waste there for. Verse 11, verse 12. Oh no, I did have a couple of verses. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, there they are. 1 Kings 22:19. This is talking about having lots of people in the throne room. This is back in the old time. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right." Left. Yeah, 100 trillion people. That's a lot of people to be standing in the throne. You also see it over Revelation 19:6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord to God, omnipotent, reigneth. But that is a lot of people. Imagine what that choir sounds like. 100 trillion people. Now you get us all 18. That's probably, yeah, we got perfect bodies, so of course we'll all be 18. Revelation 5:12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Just a few verses here, too, that to indicate, to support this verse. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. In John 3:35-36, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In John 17:2, And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that he may, through his poverty might be rich. Amen to that. Realizing God, in the
presence of a man came to fulfill the requirement to die for our sins, pay the penalty for our sins, and the only person that could do this.
So he basically did that for us because he loves us that much. Really keep in mind.
Over in Philippians 2, it's a great passage. Wherefore God also hath
highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
That at the name of Jesus, everything shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That every tongue shall confess
Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen to that also.
We'll be there to see that.
Revelation 5,
almost done. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You see this reflected over in Psalms also, 96:11 through 13, but the heavens. Let the earth be glad, let the sea roar. Click down a little bit quick. And the fullness thereof, let the field be joyful, and all there is in therein, that shall all the trees of the wood be joyful. For the Lord, he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. We also read over in Isaiah 24:14. And they shall lift up their voice, and they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. In Isaiah 42:10. Sing unto the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. So that pretty much finishes off the book. Verse 14 here. 5. And the four beasts said, and the 24 elders fell down to worship him that lived forever and ever. And on that I say, so there we are, us bowing down, as I'm sure that we're going to be so happy to be there. Boy, am I looking forward to that day. But every time I think about that, 100 trillion, not just a trillion, 100 trillion. That's a number we can't even fathom. Now they keep talking about that our national debt is almost impossible to pay off. And that's what, about 10 trillion right now? Can you imagine what 10 times that is? I was going to divide it out and see how many years in seconds that comes up to. Maybe I will for the next time. I'm already a little over right now, my half hour limit. So I will end it there and we'll say a prayer to the Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for this time in your word. And continue to study your word and to learn as much as we can. And help me, Lord, to be better teacher, to help relay the information that you would like me to give out, and that I can be a help somehow, some way. I know I enjoy, Lord, studying your word, and I hope that others are enjoying this also. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I do hope the stuff I really do enjoy studying this stuff, and I'm hoping it makes sense to you all. I know it helps me, and so I hope that we continue to work on this together. If you have any questions, please feel free to give me a text. If you want my email, it's just give me actually on the website. So if you go to the website, you can email me. So you guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.